Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mindshifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love, in Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Hi, and welcome to Mindshifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. We also have Dr. Tim Hayes with us. I'm your co-host, Jeannie Rice, and we welcome you to the show. Today's Monday, March the 9th, 2015. Our call-in number is 646-200-4169. Press 1, and that puts you in queue to talk to us. And we would love to hear your comments and your questions, because that makes this your show. Welcome, Michael.
Thank you, dear heart, and welcome, everybody. We are honored and blessed by the fact that you choose to join us every day that you choose to join us. We are in Pompano Beach, Florida. We've got just all kinds of things happening. We did a support group down in Miami at UTC, where we'll be back there again next Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday doing a 4-day series of workshops. So if you're in the Miami area, you'd be welcome to join us. We completed on Saturday. We had an awesome breath workshop on Saturday at Unity in Pompano, and we did just this morning add an additional workshop, although it's not open. If anybody's in the Pompano area that might want to join us, we could probably call and get it set up, but we're going into a treatment center, alcohol treatment center, and we're going to be presenting the forgiveness work there on Thursday afternoon after the radio show. So lots happening. We've got our time is dwindling here in South Florida. It's amazing how quickly it's gone by, and we certainly thank Sally Voorhees for creating an awesome space for us to just settle in for about 6 weeks, which has been really nice. Now, oftentimes we're on the road like this, we do one city and another, so we're uprooting and moving, and the bug out, as our kids used to call it, is always a big job, so it's been nice to just sit here and be still for 6 weeks and be able to travel back and forth to Miami, Fort Lauderdale, and Pompano Beach. So if you're in this area, we've got 4 more workshops left. Saturday, we're going to do Mind Shifters and Still Point Breathing. Of course, Friday night, Jeannie starts her Healing the Whole Woman retreat, which is full to the brim. No room left in that one, but it's pretty exciting to see 50 women coming together, or pretty close to 50 women coming together, to spend 2 days with Jeannie in the process of learning forgiveness and responsibility and healing and helping to shift the energy on another level on the planet. And then Saturday, I'll be doing this one myself, because Jeannie will be in the Healing the Whole Woman retreat. We'll be doing Mind Shifters and Still Point Breathing Saturday in North Miami, Miami Gardens at UTC. If anybody wants to join us for that, that is the one workshop that we charge a fee for. So that'll start at 8 o'clock in the morning on Saturday and go through sometime between 5 and 6 if you care to join us. And the fee for that whole day workshop is $125. And then Sunday we'll be at Universal Truth Center, 10 o'clock, doing their Sunday service. And we're going to talk about living, not saying, the Lord's Prayer, and recognizing that what people call a prayer isn't a prayer at all. It's an instruction set. So we're going to be tapping into and looking at that instruction set and what it's really telling us to do, as opposed to it being a set of words that people are supposed to mumble to themselves, and it's just not what they're designed for. So anyway, we'll be doing that on Sunday at the service at 10 o'clock, and then 1 till 4, we'll do... It would be 1 till 4, 1 till 5. Yeah, I guess it's 1 till 4. We'll do Healing Through Relationships. It would be a free open workshop, UTC. And then on Monday nights, 6:30 till 9, we'll do communication. Did you hear what I think I said? And Tuesday, we'll do codependence to interdependence, 6:30 to 9 again. So that'll be the last of the workshops we'll be doing in South Florida. And that's, of course, in the next few days, something else kicks in, which we are having a few conversations. So it might. We hold the space that it will. But otherwise, our next stop will be up in Sebring, Florida. We'll be doing 6 days of workshop at Unity of Sebring. And you can get that schedule on our website. And, of course, then we'll have a little bit of time off, and we'll be moving into a 20-day teacher training. It'll be a 9-day, why is this happening to me again, that I'll do. And concurrent with that, Jeannie will do a 9-day healing the whole woman. And then we'll move into 3 days of training on the personal code evaluation and 9 days of teacher training. And the teacher training is designed for anybody who wants to just deepen their experience of the work, or anybody who wants to teach the work. That's got a dual purpose workshop. So that whole 9 days will be totally focused in the principles of why is this happening to me again. And we'll be doing that at an awesome hotel in Kissimmee, just outside of Orlando, Florida. And there are some folks there who bought a hotel and are basically modeling it after Heartland. We've trained 8 or 9 of their staff already, and they're coming to teacher training. We're just going to take things to the next level. And so we'll be doing that in Kissimmee, or Orlando, Florida, starting the 17th of April. Jeannie's doing concurrent 9-day with my own. And then each of those workshops will qualify people to go into teacher training. So that's what's happening, and from there we go to Atlanta. You can check our website and see what our schedule is. And if we're coming to a town near you, we'll hope we'll get to see you. And other than that, we want to really get the understanding of how this ancient technology of forgiveness so awesomely gives people the opportunity to change the content of their minds. And you can certainly understand, when you start looking into how the mind operates, how that got turned backwards into the blame game that comes out of the Greek philosophy of forgiveness. And basically, as that philosophy stands, it's about how, well, you did it to me, it's all your fault, but it's okay, I'll forgive you. You'll notice the whole focus, the whole conversation is about how I'm going to let somebody off the hook, either them or myself. And just to be clear that letting somebody or yourself off the hook because you've done something that's out of line or what have you, that pardoning can be a nice thing to do, but when we make the mistake of calling that forgiveness, what happens is we're left with what our minds have injected into the situation, and if we never address and change what our mind injects into the situation, we're going to get to live the title of my book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? Because your mind is always providing information. Now, I love that quote we talked about last week from Carl Jung, who looks outside dreams. Now, of course, recognize you're never looking outside. Your mind lies to you. Your eyes are not windows. You're not sitting in here looking out through windows at what's happening outside. That's an illusion. You are involved in an extremely active process called perception when you think you're looking at something outside of you. If you don't know that you're involved in an active process of projection and that your mind is injecting into your experience what's in your mind, then you're stuck in a dream. Pictures your mind shows you, you sit there and think, I'm looking at a window out there, look at the terrible things those people are doing. They're making me feel bad, and never realizing that we're injecting into our experience the content of our own minds. And actually, Jeannie and I have been, I've been asking for guidance for several days since we brought that quote forward of Carl Jung about another way to understand the process. And, you know, if you imagine that the inside of your eyeballs are a screen, and you know an injector in a car is the device that shoots fuel into the cylinders so that when there's a spark or there's enough heat, the cylinders fire and your car moves. But your injectors are continuously spraying into the cylinder's fuel. Now, if your injectors are spraying diesel fuel into your gasoline engine, you're not running for long. If your injectors are shooting, spraying gasoline into your diesel engine isn't going to go very far. It's going to break down. It's going to make all kinds of crazy sounds, and it's going to crash. It's going to quit. And if you imagine that your eyes, as opposed to being windows, are screens, and your mind, according to what comes in the way of energy in your life, whatever comes in resonates content, and just imagine, just like the injector sprays fuel into the cylinder, your mind is spraying content and meaning on the inside of your eyes. From the backside, everything that you see is sprayed, so to speak, injected into the world and creates the world that you see. And, you know, that lesson from the Course in Miracles, it says, what is the world? It says it so beautifully in one line, the world is false perception. And so when we hear Carl Jung saying, looks outside, and we think we're looking outside through a window, dreams, we're stuck in this spray-painted world where our mind is just spraying all these meanings over anybody and everybody and being sure that they're the problem in our lives. And you'll notice how the whole culture, when somebody's in upset or pain and their brain is spraying, injecting, you know, on the backside of their eyes, rage at how this happened and fear about this and how they're in judgment after judgment, we're stuck in a dream. And 99.9%, you just have to listen to the words of the culture, are stuck in a dream. And then what Carl Jung says is, he who goes inside awakens. What the forgiveness process does, because the spray that your mind injects and places on the inside of your eyes so that you see a world comes from the content of your mind. It comes from inside of you. If you think you're looking on the outside, you're in error. So your partner does this or that, and you go into frustration or fear. And you say to your partner, you really frustrate me. You really frighten me. And what are you doing? You're stuck in a dream. You have fear, frustration. Information comes in through your senses about your partner. And what does your mind spray on the backside of your eyes? Your partner with your problem, frustration and fear. And you've been taught by the culture to say, and this person frightened me. This person frustrates me. When in fact, when you go inside, you awaken from that dream and you go, ah, now that I'm becoming acquainted with what's inside of me, I see that what I'm spraying, what I'm injecting into this situation is my frustration and my fear. And then I'm able to forgive that. I'm able to collapse that and get rid of it. And the core of the process of forgiveness, when you recognize, you know, if you imagine the analogy of this is a spray job that's happening, this is spray painting a whole world on the inside of your eyes, that whole process is driven by goals. What do I want from this object of attention? And that goal is what recruits what I inject into my perception, what I spray the back of my eyes with. And though it seems totally counterintuitive, backward, inside out, upside down, this is crazy, I have this perfectly good goal. I want this person to be loving with me, and I'm feeling all this fear. They frighten me. When I'm willing, and in the Aramaic language, the word forgive is shebag. When I'm willing to shebag or cancel my goal, the word shebag in Aramaic means cancel. When I'm willing to cancel that goal, what I've done is I've taken my finger off the sprayer. The thing that recruits this particular information to spray paint the back of my eyes with the world that I'm experiencing over and over and over again. When I cancel my goal, I collapse that. I collapse the dream. And when I collapse the dream and I'm willing enough, I get to drop inside. I get to go inside and see the part of me that's involved. And when I drop inside and bring with me the active presence of love, you remember step 4 in the worksheet. Before you cancel the goal, step 3, you've identified what you want from whoever you're looking at. So you identified the trigger on your spray painter. And then in 4, you want to make sure that love is present, because when whatever you're injecting into a situation that doesn't belong in that situation is exposed to love, the presence of love dissolves it. It's like it just wipes the inside of your eyeballs clean. And all of a sudden, you can be in exactly the same situation tomorrow, and the inside of your eyeballs don't show you this person who causes you all this frustration and fear, because you've gone inside and you've forgiven, removed, deleted frustration and fear. Changes everything. And when we can get 7.5 billion people on the planet to recognize that they're injecting the hostility, the fear, the rage that they're blaming on everybody else, and start to collapse it, then the whole game on planet Earth is going to change. And what's going to happen is human life is going to show up instead of that rage, guilt, grief, pain, and fear. So when I choose to forgive, I get to collapse and remove the content. I collapse the dream, what I've spray painted on the inside of my eyeballs, drops away. I drop inside the part of me that holds the hostility or fear. With the presence of love, I begin to dissolve it. And tomorrow I look at the same situation, and because there's none of that in me, you know, there's an interesting passage, I think it was in the book of Thomas, one of the books that didn't get canonized, but, you know, the Pharisees are really down on Yeshua, and the disciples say to Yeshua, why don't you sock it to them? Why don't you give them back some of their own medicine? And Yeshua says, I have none of that in my store. What do you have in your store that you inject into your experience and pretend is caused by other people? How are we going to get 7.5 billion people that have it? Because virtually everybody's been fooled. You know, you look in the ancient scriptures and they said, there'll come a time when the whole world will be fooled. The whole world, stuck in the dream, believes everybody else is the cause of the pain in their dream. They're dreaming. How are we going to get that to happen with 7.5 billion people? I mean, gee, are we going to set up some sort of a super broadcasting system? No. We're going to keep delivering forgiveness to 1, 2, 10, 100, 1,000 minds at a time. And we're going to support people in learning to clean what's on the inside of their eyeballs. And when we get enough human beings, and when we're talking about human beings, we're talking about actual human life. What is a human being? Hold a newborn child. You know exactly what human life is. When we get enough human beings looking out through their eyes and being present in the world rather than lost in the dream, when they awaken to who they are, all it's going to take is a critical mass of people doing that. And the energy and the understanding of that process is going to spread globally like that. If that weren't true, I'd probably quit, because how are we going to get some of the insane minds that are doing what they're doing on the planet? How are we going to get, I mean, that's impossible. 7.5 billion people. But 2,000 years ago, there was this physicist named Yeshua, and he said this, and this is what gives me hope above all. A little leavening leavens the whole loaf. I assure you, he wasn't talking about bread. He was talking about humanity. The question is, will you, the next time your dream is telling you that somebody else is causing you to feel something, will you stop and go, ah, what am I injecting into my experience? Am I willing to face this and feel it head on, which is not Dr. Feelgood? Am I willing to develop the strength of character and being to bring the active presence of love forward? And then as I bring the active presence of love forward, what happens is what shines out through my eyes is the presence of human life. And they said the eyes are the windows of the soul. When we presence ourselves inside our physiology as love, then we inject into the world an energy. And the world, whether they want to receive that energy or not, doesn't matter, because we live in a universe of a resonance. When we choose to do that, we will, by injecting that energy into the world, resonate and awaken that in others. It may be in small increments at first, but there comes a point. You know, we did this Mind Shifters and Still Point Breathing workshop on Saturday. We had about 20 people there, and it was just so powerful. One woman in particular had come. She's done this work for about 15 years, and a couple of years ago, she had a cat that died. And when her cat died, she went into back pain, and she, for 2 years, has had this back pain. And in her still point session now, she's been doing this work, she's been breathing, but in the space of community, in the space of a number of people who are doing their work and holding that space, she was able to go to a new level of vitality. And she said, I was just amazed. I got up off the table, and as she's explaining this, she kind of moves her background. She's like, my back pain has been there for 2 years. It's totally, completely gone. Why? Because in the space of that critical mass, you know, in that little room, we had 20 people who were working toward producing a result. And in the space of that energy and that support, things opened that we could never open on our own. And so the choice is to either be the problem or be the solution. Do I choose to live as the presence of love? And when I can't, and I'm willing, am I willing to see that my mind is injecting into my world of pictures whatever's inside of me? And if it's unlike love, and I can bring the active presence of my human life, love, forward, it's going to dissolve that. That's our challenge. That's what we're challenging you with. And then share it with somebody. And that's what's going to take us to critical mass and change the game. So that's what we're here to do. And Dr. Tim, how do you be today, young man?
I'm quite well, thank you. I just was enjoying the intro and eating a little lunch here. I had the good fortune of having a lovely weekend and actually having some doing my own work and helping others with their work even through the weekend. I had somebody else come in this morning and have a huge revelation about changes they've made in the last 6 months using these tools and some events that happened in the past week. And they realized after the fact that they had responded dramatically differently during the past week to things that would have 6 months or a year ago triggered a rage. And
right.
And the essence of the insight was, in their words, these other people are still doing the same thing, but I don't have that response anymore.
Yeah.
And they all but said...
I'm not spray painting that on the inside of my eyeball.
Excuse yeah.
me.
They all but said it's an inside job.
Yeah.
And they just got it at a deeper level.
That's awesome. Well, that's what's going to change the game, I think, when we realize that each of us is... You know, and I like this new analogy of is spray painting that meaning on the inside of our eyeballs. And when we get that and choose to change it, it's like, oh, my God, I can change everything. The whole game can be changed. And we get enough people doing that, and bingo, critical mass happens. And I think we're getting closer and closer by the day to that critical mass happening. It's awesome. I just got off the phone just before the show today, speaking to a man in Hawaii who's from Palestine, who just moved to Hawaii, and we're talking about doing a major addition to our website in Arabic and starting to take it into the Arabic world, and so that's pretty exciting. He was talking about some high-level business people who are interested in changing the game in the violence that's happening in the Middle East. So it's pretty cool to just see where it's going and how it's opening and what's happening.
Yeah, it is happening, and more and more at different levels. And the internet is, as we mentioned, being used for more than just cat pictures. And
and I are you was, being inundated with cats?
No, but that's just one of the things that people are frequently commenting on, is that, you know, that's one of the most searched for images. But that's not all that's going on. As I mentioned, I'm trying to put together a connection between you and a gentleman who wrote a book called Redemption. And it's nothing less than exactly what you're talking about here. It's about changing the whole game and realizing that cooperation is highly preferable financially and socially and individually to competition. And he's doing his work and hosting trainings 5 times a year for CEOs to learn to think in terms of cooperation instead of competition. And if they do that at the CEO level in a corporation, they have the ability to impact quite powerfully everything about the interactions and the people. And So that's happening, and people are tuning in. I mean, I don't know how many people, I haven't looked at the stats lately on the internet blog talk radio, but just this past weekend I went back and listened again to several shows from the past, including the one where I was so triggered on August 28th of 2014, or triggered on the 27th, and did the worksheet and discussed it on the 28th. And I've gone back and listened to some of the old Dale Allen Hoffman Aramaic Friday shows, and it's just a to my mind, a really wonderful thing that these tools of mass communication are actually being used by people to spread the good.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel so blessed that we've got this show. We've got all those archives. You know, for anybody who doesn't know it, I don't know how many shows we've got, probably close to 1,000 now in the archives, 1,000 hours of this type of conversation. So if you want to build the brain cells, you know, of course, listen to the show every day you can and do some live interaction. But if you can't listen, there's 1,000 hours or so of free content that you're welcome to go listen to and start to integrate these concepts. And it's a massive project of building brain cells for the new and washing the inside of our eyeballs of the old, letting go of it, and recognizing that in every situation we can have our injector set to inject the fuel of love into the world, truth of who we are, our being, what we're designed to be plugged into, or we can have our injector set to inject, push into our world hostility and fear. And if you go back to Yeshua, and, you know, I mean, how the genius of this man came about, I don't know, but just simply to look at one word he gave us, you know, when they said to him, what's most important? It's interesting to watch how, you know, there's so many places where this gets poo-pooed. I've been watching a few YouTube videos on atheists and the mind of the atheist, and there's so much hostility. And I want to say, well, you know, you want to deny the existence of love, and everything that you are engaged in is the antithesis of love. Of course you're not experiencing it. Of course you don't think love exists in the world. You don't think God exists in the world. But when you drop that guard and you start to allow yourself to go into willingness, well, let me just check out and see what's here. Bingo, there it is. And of course, you know, to just get to see that, and where Yeshua says, and they throw him out like he's some sort of an idiot. I mean, just, I'm appalled at the kind of conversations people have about what Yeshua taught, because they're so ignorant and so out in the provinces, you know, the distant provinces where nobody heard what happened last week, and making pronouncements based on just such a mishmash of misunderstanding. But this one genius piece of information that Yeshua gives us is, you know, they say, well, you know, if we're going to live a human life, well, what's most important? What do you advise? And he says, have rachma. And the word rachma is a filter in the frontal lobes of the brain that, in the context of our introduction, allows your mind only to inject love into your perception. And when you recognize that, it's so brilliant. And these people who are living in their complaint and their pain and their trauma and their denial and their dissociation, and talking about how, you know, some of the atheists are, you know, I mean, some of the sarcasm and the viciousness. There were a couple of them that I listened to. I listened to maybe five or six of them. There were a couple that I listened to that were fairly gentle in their approach, but still their words were based in, you know, hostility toward people who don't believe like they believe, or complaining about the people who don't believe what they believe, and their hostility. So it's just interesting to recognize that, you know, we've got this filter, and as you recognize and you start to work with that, of course, like any new idea, you don't instantly bring it about into full swing. It's something that takes practice. So if somebody hands you a new tool, what happens? You have to do some practice at that tool. And so, you know, this tool called Rachma, a simple way to activate it and set it, is to just get into a quiet space, take a few deep breaths, and imagine holding a newborn child, and just be with that newborn energy until your mind clicks in, until that filter activates. And then take a look at the world. And, you know, if you doubt that that's true, just think about the last time that you had somebody in your life that you said, oh, I love you, I cherish you, I will honor you forever. And then that person gave you the look. And notice that while Rachma was active, you perhaps weren't aware of that, you could see all kinds of wonderful, loving things about them. But notice that when you got the look and that filter shut down, you stopped injecting love into your experience of them, and one of the two other filters, hostility or fear, kicked in. Notice that it went from, I love you, I honor you, I cherish you, I want to be near you forever, to, don't talk to me, don't look at me, I never want to see you again. I mean, you think about it, that happens in a fraction of a second. People say, oh, I've married the love of my life, we're in such love, and 2 years later, they have nothing but hate spewing out of their mouths for that person. What happened? They changed filters, that's all. And we go into the hostility or fear filters, it injects totally different content. And the thing, of course, to get is that the content that injects always comes from inside of us. And we can be in charge of that. Those who look inside awaken. And you stop injecting hostility and fear into your experience, and you start injecting love into your experience. You start to be powered by that. And everything changes. And, you know, it's not a religious game. It's just, here's how the game's designed to be played, folks. Here's what you're designed for. And when Yeshua says, nobody comes to the Father except through me, it's not a magic, you know, my name. He says, if I come in my own name, I am a false prophet. What's he saying? Man and his teaching were one. If you engage my teaching, then you will naturally come to the Father, which is love. Period. If you bring a mind of hostility or fear and approach my teaching but never engage it, then you'll be one of those who will call my name, but I'm going to say, I have nothing to do with you because your heart is far from me. The content of your mind is still filled with hostility or fear. And that's what Yeshua defined as a Pharisee. You know, there's that passage where he's invited to dinner with the Pharisee, and the Pharisee marvels that he doesn't wash his hands. And Yeshua says, you Pharisees, you keep clean the outside of the cup and the platter. You try to keep the dream going. And he says, your inward parts, your unconscious, the part you spray meaning from, this part you inject everything you experience from is filled with hostility and fear. The Greeks translated it as ravening and wickedness, but simply hostility and fear. And when we hold hostility and fear content, and we approach the teachings but don't engage them, then we become one of those that comes calling his name. And Yeshua says, I'm going to say, I never knew you. Because your heart, and you know, we couldn't translate that word heart out of the Aramaic until just a few decades ago. We've started to understand what it means. It's the unconscious. He's saying your unconscious, the hidden part, your inward parts are filled with hostility or fear. And you live in that frequency, that vibration of hostility or fear, and it's all based on a lie. And so he goes on to say, and your father is a liar. The thing that sources your dream lies to you because it's not based in the truth of you're made of the stuff called love. And he says, you know, I'm in this world. Hey, I got this whole hostility, fear, rage, guilt, grief, pain, drama, trauma, you know. The Roman soldier spears this guy in the head for no reason whatsoever, and he lays dead with his four-year-old son watching. Hey, I got it. I'm in this world. But excuse me, I have a different filter going. I'm not of it. I'm not playing the game the way you are. And his invitation is to come over to the other side, is to come over to Rachma, and to come over to where you literally get to the point where you can't inject hostility or fear because you have none of that in your store. Then human life begins. And it's always just so exciting when human life shows up. We went last night again, or the night before last. It was a friend who hadn't seen the film McFarlane. We talked about it last week, and we took her and went to see it again, and it was more powerful the second time around to just watch when human life shows up. And if we can just do that with each other, rather than, well, there's a certain group of people that I spray paint, you know, with my worst garbage when I see them, to bringing only that presence of love, rock them forward. Everything shifts. It's just the most amazing thing. And we're all designed to live in that amazing space. So Yeshua says, yeah, I'm in it. I got it. But that's not my source. The source of your dream is a liar. It's hostility and fear. My father is love. That's where I go. That's where I get my directions. And when we start to go to that, everything changes. Well, any other thoughts before we check on callers, Tim?
Well, just the other theme that's come up is the interconnectedness of all things, and Indra's web, and Max Planck's constant, and the concept that I can't think a thought without it sending out an energetic wave and affecting or having an impact on everyone and everything around me. So while some might take this and look at the downside of that, I choose to focus on the immense benefit that I get for myself every time I remove content from my mind that doesn't belong there, that's less than love, and how that's affecting the eternal, the infinite net of connection between me and every other mind and every other object and every other energy field that ever existed. And
yeah.
That the issue came up when I was listening to a Robert Smith video about, you know, he talks sometimes about picturing someone else in my mind. Let's say I had that event happen when I was 14 years old, and I go back and remember the images and sights and sounds and smells and other people that were there, and I can tap on my image of myself at 14 who was so traumatized. But then if I look at that scene and I see these bullies who were beating me up and they had anger or they had fear or they had inappropriate laughter or whatever, in my mind, I can go in and visualize that I'm tapping for them to release their anger and their fear and their inappropriate laughing, etc.
Mm-hmm.
the question came up, isn't that intrusive to somebody else's energy field? And Robert Smith's answer to that is, it's no more intrusive than every time I have an angry thought about them. Only this is a loving thought about them.
Yep.
And I can release my memory of their angry energy from my immediate field of awareness and consciousness. And it may open an energy gateway for them to do some of their own work, but it doesn't force them to do work they don't want to do.
Yep.
If for their personal growth, their soul's journey, et cetera, they need to hold on to their anger or fear for another couple lifetimes, my releasing my negative thoughts about them isn't going to force them to release their negative energy, but it really makes my experience better. And since I'm 100% responsible for what I'm creating and feeling inside of myself, that's my focus.
Awesome. Awesome. Yes, yes, yes. And it certainly, as we hold that space, it opens an energy window. You know, way back, 20, almost 30 years ago now, we set up a program at Unity in Delray Beach called Lessons in Living. And the first lesson we taught, you know, kindergarten to grade 8, we went into every classroom, and the first lesson we taught, and we kind of drilled with the kids, was, when I choose love, it wakes up the love in everyone. When I choose love, it wakes up the love in everyone. When I'm putting bad energy into the situation, other people can't help have that resonate. Now, they may have something stronger resonating too, but if somebody stands and puts that energy in, it tends to open it for everybody. That's the game of critical mass. Fabulous. Well, Jeannie, let's check in and see if there's anything happening in the chat room to be aware of, or anybody on the phone queue that we can support.
Nothing in the chat room. Everybody in there is just guests, so they can't talk. But we do have a hand up. So let's go to our caller. Area code 313. You're on the air. Who do we have?
Brianna.
Hey, welcome. And where are you calling from?
From Detroit, Michigan.
Awesome. How can we support you today?
I'm trying to really just seek some confirmation because I know that I'm getting ready to get a vehicle. Or is it, am I going to find it in Texas or am I going to find it in Michigan? Because I've just recently relocated to Texas. And I'm back in Michigan wrapping things up. And what I felt when I asked her, what came to me was like I seen myself like driving, but I felt like I was driving back. So I kind of felt like that meant driving back to Michigan. So maybe it's Texas.
Well, you know, there is another show that's on this network that does kind of a reading sort of thing. But that's
okay.
Not what we do with this show. Our work is about forgiveness process.
Oh,
so my vote for you would just be that whichever way it goes, you're safe and you got a vehicle that's awesome and really runs well and and supports you for a long time. That'd be my vote.
Mine too. Thank you.
Awesome. Well, and you've moved to Texas?
Yes, just recently.
That's quite a change from.
Yeah, big
change.
Quite
a change from Detroit
never,
to Texas. Wow.
Yeah. It's time for big moves. It's time for big change, scary and all, and through the struggle because I'm still in the storm, but I'm still moving forward.
Well, you might want to go to our website, which is www.whyagain.org. So whyagain.org. And in the middle of the page, there's a bullseye. And when you click on that bullseye, it will open some links. And it'll start to explain how to get rid of the storm inside of you so that when you move from Detroit to Texas, you don't have to take the storm along. You can delete the storm and create a whole different game in Texas.
And that's
what
I'm trying
to do. There you go. So click on that bullseye, and that'll open a whole series of links. The first link is Chapter 24 of my book. It'll explain the forgiveness process. It's a free download. Mm-hmm. You can also download the whole book for free. The second link is a series of worksheets, and you just take the first worksheet. That'll be the place to start. And then the third link, there are about 14 different radio shows, just like this one, where somebody's called in, and we've walked them through the whole forgiveness worksheet process, step by step by step. So on that second link, print off the worksheet. And then the third link, start listening to those radio shows, and it will show you precisely how to leave the storm behind so that you start in Texas with a clean slate.
Oh, awesome. Thank you so much.
All right. Well, we'll hold the space then. And, you know, as time unfolds, if you take the tool and use it, keep us posted. Let us know how Texas is treating you.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you. You have
a
blessed day.
Okay, blessings and love. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, so we don't have another caller. I think Michael is moving from where he was sitting and talking, getting to another location. Still nothing going on in the chat room. So I'll talk until Michael gets back with us here. So we had pulled into Whole Foods. Oh, there you are. Go for it.
Yeah. Okay, so I was distracted there for a minute. I had some people come into the room that I was using. So if you want to cue me into what's next, I'm going to step outside. Are you there, Jeannie? Hello, Jeannie.
I guess I'm mute challenged.
There you go.
I was sitting there talking. See, it's contagious. You've taught me how to do that.
There you go. I am such a good teacher.
I know. So anyway, yeah, I was the other day when I said that, you know, we were in the prison, and I was nervous because Michael was there, not because I had 70 women in front of me. And yesterday, Michael, is a little bit noisy on your end, the wind blowing in your microphone. So yesterday we were at a support group meeting in at UTC, and I'm not sure, but it appeared like the teacher of the support group was also a little bit nervous because Michael was sitting in the room. So he has that kind of effect on people. It's like, oh, am I going to do this right in front of the teacher? But they did a phenomenal job, and their group is really getting off on the right foot. She's made a little packet for the teachers that are in that worksheet group, and she has told them that they have to do 40 worksheets. And then after they've done their 41st worksheet, that if they want to go to the website or whatever and get one of the simpler ones, that they can do that. But they have to do at least the 41 in order to build the brain cells to change their thinking. And she brought up some good points in it, and one of them being that a lot of people, after they've done, you know, 5 or 6 worksheets or whatever, that they're basically filling in the blanks. They know what goes in what blank, and so they're just kind of going down through there and filling them in. And so she's like, you've got to read every word on this worksheet and change your thinking, change your mind. So I really liked that she brought out in it. And I also asked her if I could borrow some of her tools because she used the example. She had a little kitchen crock there that had like a basting brush and a spoon and a spatula and a potato masher. And she said, now, if we're in the kitchen and I won't mash potatoes, she said, how well am I going to do if I use this tool? And she holds up the basting brush, which, of course, wouldn't mash a potato at all. And so she used the example then that the forgiveness worksheet was the proper tool for changing our mind. And so they needed to use that tool, and they needed to get into the habit of how to feel everything out and how to do it. So I asked her if I said, is that patented? Can I use that example? Because it was awesome. And I use tools in my women's workshops all the time as, or props rather, to get points across. And so I thought that was a really good point. Michael, are you back with us?
I'm here.
I guess
yes,
not.
Ma'am.
Oh, okay.
I do have a little bit of breeze, but I am here, yes. And
okay.
Yeah, Barbara's support group last night was really sweet to be there and watch how she handled it and her focus on, I agree with you, her focus on, you've really got to let yourself feel each step in this and really be with it rather than just, you know, skip through it in your head. She just, she made a really good point to that. And it was awesome. I really see some fabulous things coming out of UTC, and it's kind of cool that, you know, rarely when we speak somewhere, are we invited back, you know, well, can you come back in 3 weeks? And so it's cool to do a week of workshops there, and then we'll be back there starting Saturday again, that they were so excited and so ready for the tools. So it's pretty awesome. And, you know, for anybody that's in the chat room, by the way, it's easy to register with Blog Talk, and then you can actually enter the conversation. And I hope that the wind, it's picking up here a little bit. I had to step outside, and so I hope the wind isn't too strong that it's making too much
noise
here.
Okay right
we're
now.
We're starting to get some pineapple juice here. We're in Pompano Beach, Florida, and when we were in Hawaii a couple of years ago, and you get a real light, fine shower, they called it pineapple juice, and so there's a little pineapple juice falling. It's kind of nice. And so 646-200-4169, we've got 7 or 8 minutes left, so we got time for a question or two. If anybody has a thought about our conversation, what we're talking about, then put up your hand. If you've been in the room when...
Well, I have a comment for you.
Oh, go for it. Go for it, sir.
Jeannie said something about how Michael has the tendency to bring this up in people, her nervousness and the nervousness of the person yesterday. And I would offer that in this work we talk more about, in the first place, I know Dr. Michael Rice and he's not that powerful. In the second place, a lot of people have issues with their power person about needing to get it right and being afraid of getting it wrong and believing that negative consequences are going to happen, horrible things will happen if I make a mistake. And that can get resonated by me or in me by a wide variety of circumstances. And it could be anyone that I perceive as an authority figure. It could be Michael Rice. It could be a patient I'm sitting in front of. It could be a friend that I'm, you know, in business with. It could be any of those things. And that would be a more accurate way to discuss what got triggered in people in Michael's presence rather than assuming that Michael has the power to create that upset in people.
You're absolutely right. And I don't know about in her case, but I know in mine it was the same thing of, you know, okay, well, what if I don't do this right? And I'm sure that comes from childhood. But it also just now, as you were talking about that, it made me think of something year before last when Michael's mom passed and he went up to Canada to spend the last week of her earthly life with her. And I did the last two or three workshops that we had scheduled at this church. And after the first night, this friend of ours came up and he said, can I give you some feedback? And I'm like, yeah. And he said, quit saying Michael says. He says, just take it on as your own and say it and drop that part. And I'm sure that's along the same lines of, you know, giving, not feeling confident enough to do it on my own or whatever. So that thought, that reminder of him telling me that was triggered as you were saying that. And you're absolutely right.
Cool. And I really appreciated the space that you created because I got 3 good worksheets done in that presentation you did to the women in the prison. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah, and the other thing I would add, Jeannie, is that even in, you know, certainly in every public conversation I've ever heard Michael where he's discussing you, and every private conversation where I've heard Michael discussing you, there's nothing but admiration for your skills, your intelligence, your willingness, your sensitivity. And so I haven't even seen any evidence from the outside that there is judgment or incrimination or any of those negative energies coming at you from Michael.
And what a sweet face, too.
Indeed.
I am blessed. I'm blessed every day by your presence in my world. So blessed.
And it,
so we're down
was,
to just a couple. Go ahead, sweetie.
There was a point that you made yesterday when Barbara was teaching and you brought it up, and I heard it with different ears. And it was when you get down to the part where you cancel the goal, and then you ask Rika to Kutcher, the Spirit, Holy Spirit, or higher power, to assist you in letting those things go. And you brought up the point, and what you said was that Rika cannot remove something that you hold value to. You have free will. And I heard that with a little bit of different ears yesterday when you said that to her, and I think she got a different aha out of it as well. And it's that, you know, a lot of times we do. We hang on to stuff, and, you know, if we're just going through and filling in the blanks, we have to really be willing to let that go. And then Rika will help us to remove it. But we have to be willing to let it go. And I thought that was a really good point that you brought out in doing the worksheet yesterday. So thank you for that.
Yeah, I think she kind of opened the space for that to be seen a little differently. And, you know, to recognize, and we see people all the time, oh, I want to get rid of this disease. I want to get rid of this pain. Oh, God, help me get rid of this. Help me get rid of this. And when whatever it is that needs to move starts to move, you know, maybe their disease is caused, you know, the people who look at the physical call it the ABC disease, but it's really rage. And when their rage starts to move out, it's like, well, no, my rage protects me. And I can't, you know, we've both had this conversation before about how often we hear people that, you know, they'll argue for their limitation. They'll argue for their rage. Oh, that keeps me safe. And so if I value my rage to keep me safe, I can't say I want to get rid of the diseases caused by my rage and ever get rid of those diseases until I'm willing to let go. You know, there's a great lesson in the Course in Miracles that says, in my defenselessness, my power and safety lie. In my defenselessness. And most people don't realize that they're injecting the very thing that they fear the most, and that very thing comes upon them for no other reason than their mind has injected it into their experience. And when I'm willing to really let go of any belief that anything based in hostility or fear is supportive of me, helps me, protects me, then I can become freed from that. And until then, what I value, I get to keep. And so to let go of the way we've been taught by our culture to value our ability to fight and rage and all the games that we play, and really come to the state of just being human, just being the active presence of love, it's an awesome thing to do. So we're down to the last few seconds. We'll just invite you to bring a stranger to the show tomorrow. Take the tools. Take a look at the website and look at the schedule. Come join us for some of the workshops coming up. Teacher training, 9-day healing the whole woman, 9-day why in April in Orlando. Come and play. Of course, Heartland schedule is posted for this summer. And we'll look forward to seeing you somewhere down the road. In the meantime, create the best year yet of your eternal life. It's an awesome gift to give. Blessings. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com. Evolving continuously.